kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I was better until I realized I forgot to take my medicine.
Oh, no.
And now I'm like, shit.
Well, you're in it for the long haul now. But we're not alone. Chris Taylor's joining us this episode. Chris, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good.
That's just, you're good, and that's it.
Did you remember to take your medicine, Chris?
My medicine?
Yeah.
I don't have any medicine.
That's what we all say, but it's not true.
Oh, I see. I'm drinking some tea with caffeine in it.
We'll pretend that's medicine.
Yeah,
I close told enough. My kids that the caffeine was a drug the other day, and like the oldest didn't believe me. And then she Googled it, and she was like, what? And then I was like, yeah, sugar is too. And she's like, I hate this world.
Your kids are drug addicts. But yeah, we have a special guest joining this episode, which is why Chris is hanging out. Nathan Fouts of Mommy's Best Games is back on the show. How are you doing?
I'm fan-flippin-tastic.
Flippin'.
Flippin'.
You could say the fucking word on our show.
Oh, goodness.
You're allowed.
This is a show for E10+. Plus.
No.
The show is rated for E10+.
Oh, God,
no. That's the highbrow podcast.
Yeah. I'm doing great. Yeah.
Did you remember to take your medicine?
I did. I have
proud of you.
Several doses of caffeine I need each day. Mm. And my gummy vitamins for men.
Gummy vitamin. Those are good.
It says for men. And it quickly emasculates you when your vitamins are gummy, but for men. So, I'm taking my gummies. Anyway, I'm old, so I don't know. I don't want to like fall and break my hip. I'm not that old, but
look,
you know.
Here. I don't want to talk.
I'm
about
getting there.
I don't know. I don't have any medicine really.
I had an experience a couple of years ago with some dog vomit and a broken leg, and we just don't talk about falling and breaking bones.
Yeah. Sounds like a sad story, but
it was very unfortunate.
Yeah, we have more enjoyable things to talk about today. Nathan, you're here to talk about your brand new release. Shoot One Up DX just hit the Switch. Tell us about it.
It is a shoot 'em up, but I like to say it's for anyone, even people that, you know, like flip out when they see bullet hell games. Anybody that likes action games would probably dig it. It's a shoot 'em up, but you get to play all your one-ups, all your ships at the same time. And you start with three ships, and you get to control them all together. And if you get an extra man, you now have four ships. And you eventually can build this huge armada. But it's not like a real-time strategy game. It's an action game.
Carnage in chat saying, when you say it's for everyone, it's for people who suck balls at shmups. His words.
Carnage? Is that his name?
Yeah, Carnage. He's Carnage. The Windows Phone guy.
Good sir or madam, I invite you to buy the game on the Switch for $5.99 in North America. Don't yes, it is.
Carnage doesn't play anything that doesn't have achievements.
Yeah, he'll be getting it on Xbox.
Yeah, it's got built-in achievements, but it will get ported to PS4 and Xbox One. So it'll have trophies and achievements.
Yay.
It has online leaderboards, like good ones, so it's pretty cool. But if you suck balls, that's fine. It has but for real, it has a chilled mode, the easy mode, that is fun, because I love shoot 'em ups, but I actually like to chill out to them. So they're like, you guys remember that game called Rezzed on the PlayStation 2?
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of did some re-releases of it. Like, it's like you zone out. You sort of, you know, enter the zone and you're just like chilling and like, you know, playing the music and you're just like, you know, like tripping out. The chilled mode in Shoot One Up DX can be like that. It's pretty easy. And what's cool is, so in the game, if you run out of ships, you die, game over, right? Like all your little spaceships blew up. But what I tried to do with the balance, and I invite everyone to try it, is it's pretty good in keeping you alive by the skin of your teeth. So so basically, you got three ships, and then like you boom, you blow up, and now you've only got one ship left. As long as you just shoot a couple little popcorn enemies, you'll probably see another one up show up, or two, or three. So it's meant to like keep you able to hang in the game there and do even better, even if you stink. But the cool part, the balance then tips the other way. So if you have like 15 ships, you can get up to a max of 30, and it looks absolutely insane. But to get to 30, you have to actually be pretty good.
Yeah, I got to 19, I think.
I got to 30.
Well, fuck you, Chris.
Screw you, Chris.
The best part is 30 plus when you get the ghost power up, so it sends a whole another 30 ships in there.
Nice. You already got that. Awesome. Yes.
Yeah, I took a video of it. I need to upload that to somewhere. I'm going to upload that to somewhere.
Yeah, you upload it to the microwave or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Internet of Things. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. So there's a power-up in the game called the Ghost. It's the only power-up in the game, but it's pretty cool. And it makes it reverse-controlled, sort of. So you see all your ships mirrored on the other side, but they're invincible. You can't take damage. And so, and it only lasts a few seconds, but it's pretty fun to grab that. And then I will point out, so Chris, you already made it to technically 60 ships. This is super nuts. You can get a second player, so the game supports local co-op, and then they can get 30. And then in the completely insane scenario in which you get ghost while you both have 30, you could have basically technically 90 ships on screen. It would be pretty crazy.
God, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's just like power fantasy, but it's fun. So, yeah. I think your friend Carnage would like it. Whoever's online there, they'll take it.
Well, he's been talking to you. I know he traded a few tweets with you. He mentioned in chat that he got 200 out of 200 on the Windows Phone version of Shoot One Up.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is this Carnage with like the letter number 4?
Yep.
Yep.
Kaforniforge.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. I don't know how to say that, but Carnage with numbers in it. Cool. Good deal.
Okay. Yeah, he's hanging out in chat. He likes to drop by, and he's a big supporter of the show. For some reason, he likes us. It seems most people who come on the show end up liking us for some reason, which, you know, you're back, so I don't know what your problem is.
Great minds, man. Great minds.
Clearly my charm that brings everybody back.
Yeah.
I am such a beacon of joy.
Yes.
You are.
Just good vibes. Good
bastion vibes of joy and happiness.
Yeah.
Sure. I just dropped a link in chat.
Cool.
Chris dropping tweets of his crazy 60 ship mode.
I thought you were just about to say biddies, and I was like, what?
No. No biddies. Nothing yet.
No. No, I don't have any biddies.
No.
I don't know. It's in between pay week.
So, Shoot One Up DX, hit the Switch. What is the DX? What makes this deluxe or Dixie?
Deluxe edition. I don't know why.
Definitely Dix.
Shoot One Up Dix.
Everything about this game is Dix.
Or boobs.
Or boobs.
Yeah.
Or boobs. I really wanted to... Okay, this was a decision a while ago to remaster our... like classic action games from Xbox Live indie games. So we have Shoot One Up, Explosion Aid, and Weapon of Choice. And I'm going to not talk about The Black Sheep, which is a game called Game Type. But that game was so particular and such an art game. I decided not to remaster that one because it's too, you know, niche. But all the other three, the DX, it was... I don't know why. What's the X? It's like a deluxe edition, but what's the X? I don't know. It just sounds cool, right?
I guess like X and deluxe. Just
deluxe.
Yeah.
Maybe I think you got it right. Yeah, you're right. Because otherwise it'd be DE, deluxe edition, or DV. DV would be weird if it was like deluxe version. So
yeah, I don't know. Chris, do you have any idea? You play a lot like Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening, DX. What's the DX?
It usually means deluxe. Because there's also Super Mario Brothers DX and Tetris DX.
That sounds good.
And D-Generation X, break it down.
It just means it's in color now and there's an extra dungeon.
It doesn't mean anything about deluxe xylophones then, right? So the DX and Shoot One Up DX is... We did a lot for it. Basically, there's now two extra levels, completely new. There's 12 new enemies, two new bosses, all for this version. And basically what used to happen in the game was we had level branching, which I always thought was really fun. Like mid-level, you could choose what direction to go. And some of the levels would change and be a little bit more difficult. Now what actually happens is if you branch in level one, left is regular level two that we've seen before in the older version of the game. To the right is now the newer version of level two, a whole different area. Hmm. So there's totally different world, totally different place to visit. And then you go to level three, and then you go to level four or four star. So same way. You get these two new completely different branches. And that was a lot of content. And I just thought, hey, that's pretty awesome. So now there's eight real levels. There's not like six levels with the variations, you know. So I was pretty proud of that.
So it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah. And just, you know, new content. And what's fun is like the serious mode is pretty, it's not super hard, but it's enough to make you have to pay attention. And so it's fun to just try to play through all the paths now. And it keeps track of it on the main menu, what levels you've beaten.
So a lot of stat tracking.
Well, yeah, it's not okay. It's not a lot. I struggle to call it a lot. It shows you what levels you've beaten out of eight, which I like personally. I like a little bit of stats. You know what I mean? Like for this kind of thing to see what you've unlocked. And we did that in the upcoming games for Weapon of Choice and Explosion A. Those are down the line, a couple months, but we added more stats like that too. I like that. We did that. And so my previous game, I was on here with you guys for Pig Eat Ball. Yeah. We talked about that. That one's got a lot of, because it's a bigger game, but it's got a lot of late game stuff. I always like help when you're clearing out a game. You know what I mean? Where it like shows you where you've been, what have you done? And you just you're like, okay, I've had a lot of fun. I just want to know where's the next treasure, you know?
Yeah. What else do I have to do?
Yeah. I just like, you know, if you feel like completing it, which I do like to do in some games, I'm just like, I want to get all the treasure chests or all the Twinkies or all the, you know, gummy bears. Where are they?
Collectible treasure maps are beautiful. I love those in games.
Yeah. So when it, you know, like I try to, like in Pig Eat Ball, like I'll give you a hint and say, okay, it's this world, but I'm not going to tell you where, you know what I mean? But you missed something here. So I like that. You get a general direction, but at least you know that you miss something. Like that goes to me, I think I probably got that from Doom, like original Doom on the PC. Mm-hmm. Where it would, I think it would, wouldn't it tell you the secrets? You know, one of the older games, when it told you how many secrets there were, I loved that. And when it told you you found a secret, that was really fun too.
Didn't they keep track of that in Wolfenstein too? How many secrets you found?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
I might be wrong. I don't remember if, I know Wolfenstein had secret walls. I don't remember if they kept track of them though.
I know that Doom had a percentage for secrets in every stage.
I love that. I'm obsessed over that, too. You know what I mean? You get to the end, you're like, oh, gosh. You know,
so. Bitch, I missed something. Yeah.
Only 15% of secrets.
Yeah.
It's been 4 hours on this stage hitting walls.
Yeah. I mean, I go back and forth because I don't personally, I'm not nuts about rare games like Banjo-Kazooie. Like, they're fun. But that's too many like trinkets. So that's what I did in Pig Eat Ball. Everything you find is substantial. And that's what I like. I like it when it's like gameplay. So, you know, so I can shoot one up DX. It's levels, like your entire levels that you've, you know, played or not played. So I like that stuff.
Heard something vibrate.
Yeah, it was my phone. I turned it off, but it came back.
Son of a bitch, Chris.
Zombie.
We are not professional at all.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Good thing we don't try to be.
Indeed.
Oh, so Chris, what kind of questions do you have about the game?
Questions. So I'm pretty sure that this game is the first shooter that I've ever seen that actually features a turn-based mode where if you stop playing, the game stops so that you can, like, you know, actually sit there and plan out your next move.
Go ahead.
Oh, my question was, you know, hey, what's up with that?
That was a very well formulated question.
I like it. I like it if you even just left it not even as a question. You just go, so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Explain yourself, mister.
Yeah, explain yourself. So basically, Shoot One Up is one of the most complete accessibility games. And I did it early on and back in 2010, but I've continued to try to add to it. And the reason being is I, back in like 2010, like 10 odd years ago, I was learning about just the concept of accessibility in games, and I was fascinated by it. And so I was adding as many options as I was just could be helpful. And so, like, one that's in there is background contrast.
Yeah, I'm so seeing that.
Just turn off background. You could lower it. And honestly, some games, I'm not in a wheelchair, and I'm, you know, happy I don't have to be, but I know some gamers are, and they have a real struggle with all kinds of problems, and it's really intense, but they just want to play your games. But that's for instance, me. There you go. Okay. I just want to play games. So for instance, this is a really minor thing, but my vision is starting to go. And so I can't stand games where I'm kind of nuts about, I call it like readability. And because I like so much, I obsess over other games' readability, and I can't stand it when it's not. And it's such a simple thing to drop the background contrast in a game. You basically just put a dark layer in between the action and not. And so I'm always asking people to do that. There was a game like Sina Mora on the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. It was pretty fun. And again, a shoot 'em up, looked gorgeous, and just had so many – I ended up writing a blog post about it. It had so many design flaws that drove me crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I have it on Switch and PS4.
I reviewed it on Xbox, and I had problems with it, too.
Gosh, like, they don't need to make little pin pixel bullets. It's so much, it just really pisses me off. And so that kind of readability stuff, I can personally relate to. But then I go out and ask, and I talk to people, and I try to find out, what else can you do? And there's really good places like Able Gamer that are helping developers with accessibility and giving them sort of like easy, medium, hard things to implement in their games. Button remapping is a big one. Like, mm-hmm. I try to put that in as much as I can.
Yeah. Automatic shooting as well.
I've got automatic shooting in there. Yeah, shoot one up's got a lot. And then so you said turn-based. Turn-based is pretty insane. It's not a common thing at all, but it's pretty cool. And specifically, what I learned about is gamers with various disabilities that prefer a toggle over hold a button down. And there's some people that have like trouble, like, then they got those special controllers where they even have to like blow on it to activate a button, which is really intense. And so I've got gameplay speed controls in there, and then even in turn based completely. So it's, you know, I've heard of a handful of people use it, but I just think it's a neat thing to have, and it's kind of fun to monkey around with. Even as a gamer that doesn't need it, it's just fun to play with. Which I think a lot of accessibility options for developers go that direction, where even gamers that won't use them necessarily or aren't requiring them can still enjoy them.
Yeah, totally. That's that's how I was feeling about it. I was like, well, this is really cool. Like, this game really does have like more accessibility options than I've ever mm-hmm. seen in a shoot 'em up. And shoot 'em ups are notoriously like, you know, what would you call it? Not esoteric, but closed off from all but the twitchiest of fingers.
Well, it's true. I have rheumatoid disease, and actually,
what?
I know, surprise. But some of my fingers are crooked, and I have a lot of swelling and problems with my joints, and I get fatigued really quickly. And the ability to just turn on auto shoot and only have to worry about where I was moving the ships to was a lifesaver. That is something I bitch about in games.
Awesome.
So much. And I was like, holy fuck, father, shoot. What is this? I was so happy.
That's awesome. That just brightens my day as a developer then. That's great. I'm glad it came in handy.
You can't ask, Joe. Like, literally on this show, 90% of my complaints about games is stop making me push the button too much.
Well, you're big on accessibility in general. So the fact that there's so much accessibility options in the game, I knew you would be thrilled about that.
Yeah. Even just to have the difficulty option, I was like, if there's difficulty, I'm content. But then the more I went through and the more options I started ticking off, I was like, why isn't this in every game? Yeah. why don't I just have the option to do this? And then when I closed it out, I played it on Steam, and I closed it out and the achievements had popped, and I was like, why can't we just do that for everything?
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool to, like, you know, play to review a game where I can be like, you know, the game is good, but also everybody who makes games should look at this game.
Yeah.
Because it's telling you what to do to make your games better.
Thanks. Thanks. Yeah. I mean, like, the other option I've kept in every game since, like, even like Piggy Ball, is gameplay speed.
That, yeah, which is really cool.
I did see that one too.
It's almost a piece of cake to do in any game. In the event that you have physics in a game, that can be a little harder to simulate. And of course, a multiplayer PvP wouldn't work. But any single player game could technically implement a gameplay speed option. And I think it would be great personally. Like, you know, because what's cool about it is you can actually crank it up and go faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make the game goes tougher,
up, you know? Goes up to 200% for people who are masochists.
It's one of those things that it's an accessibility option, but it's also just kind of a general modifier.
Yeah.
Like anybody could enjoy it, even if you don't need it to be slower.
I actually like 200% because it reminds me of Carnival 92 Recca, which was one of the
That's a nice one. That's a speed demon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, and it was on the NES. It was so insane.
I don't think I even heard of that one.
Joe, telling me, Joe, did you say Chris is your resident shmup guy?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense then, because if you already got to 30 ships and you're into Recca, that's pretty intense, man.
Oh, thank you. Props. I beat Recca all of once.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, the game even tells you something to that effect when you beat it.
Yeah.
Carnival 92 Recco is, for people who don't know, is a Famicom game that came out back in 1992 from Naxit, and which is Taxan spelled backwards. Mm-hmm. And they just came out with it like as this like for a special event, and they came out with a 93 version the next year. And anyway, but it was this vertical shooter that moved so fast on the NES, or Famicom rather, never came out on the NES. It just moved so fast and it was so intense. It's just like one of the most blindingly, like, you know, now you see it and now you're dead kind of shooters that exists. And it's like, it's that old and on that old of a system. It's still impressive.
Rupert's my jam saying that they have it on 3DS.
It is, yeah, it's on 3DS. Of all things, I was so amazed when it came out. I bought it immediately.
Is it a native 3DS game, or is it like an NES backward compat thing? Like a virtual console thing?
It's a virtual console game.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And Recca really pushed the Famicom to the limits.
It did.
It's insane.
Yeah. It had all that speed and virtually no slowdown, and also like moving backgrounds and things like that. So,
yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a crazy game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to play Shoot 1 Up DX on chilled sometimes at 200% because it's nice. Still pretty much a cakewalk, but you kind of feel a little, you're just kind of flying through the game. I actually test that way a lot of times. But
yeah, I was also really impressed at, you know, even though obviously having 60 ships on screen at one time will eventually slow down the Switch pretty well. Like, the game moves pretty consistently, though.
Pretty good close to a clamp on 60 frames a second.
Yeah.
So I was really proud of that. That was our team. Some friends of mine over in Lexington, Kentucky, Super Soul. And so that was Super Soul did our Unity port. They actually did it for Pig Eat Ball as well. And we worked really hard on that. And no surprise, the Switch was the worst offender.
Of course.
we did. We tested 60 ships. We tested two-player co-op. And we tested shooting on the Switch. And even in handheld mode, it should hold up pretty well. But that was a bugger.
And I definitely appreciate that, and the fact that it's only like 150 megabytes download or so.
Yeah. Which
for somebody like me who has a total of I think it's like 604 downloaded games on the Switch, it's like, yeah, any smaller game is not going to get erased or get deleted anytime soon.
That's awesome.
I try to keep every shmup on there, but you know, it's a man, it gets crowded.
It's awesome.
I'm looking. I apparently have this Summer Carnival 92 Recca downloaded on my system, so I'll have to check that. I didn't even realize I had it. That's how many games I have. That's a problem.
And make sure to put on some good headphones when you're rocking out on that game. It's got a great soundtrack, too.
Nice. Root Beer is my jam, and chat had a question. What are the pizzas?
Pizzas. Yeah. So that is the Mommy's Best Games apple pie. So it's an apple pie, not a pizza pie. So it says MBG on it. And if you look at the Mommy's Best Games logo, it's a top-down view, of like a hand drawing I did of an apple pie. It says MBG on it. So those are a throwback to, say, the shurikens in the Capcom games or like something out of Hellfire where you got these little dancing guys. They're little power-ups to grab. And there's some changes in them. In level one, if you go to the right, there is an MBG pie there, and it drops score drops, point drops. So that's what that one drops. And when you grab it, I think you get a one-up out of it, not just points, which is cool. Get an extra man. Now, there are some other hidden pies in the other branches of the game. And when you find those and you shoot them, they drop one-ups. So you can milk these pies. That's a weird phrase. Anyway, you can build these pies to drop one-ups and quickly get your friend in there. You guys get up to 60 ships apiece. It's nuts. But the ships, like the pies, bounce really fast around whenever you shoot them. So you can accidentally grab them, which is a total like scream at your friend move when you're like, you idiot. You know, you grabbed it and then it's gone, right? And then now whatever one-ups you could have milked out of the pie, or that was it. But if you're careful, you can get a ton out of there. It's awesome. So yeah, the pies are little power-ups and little power-up droppers and throwback.
Nice. Carnage is asking, even though it's not out yet on Xbox, he's wondering if there will be any enhancements for the Series X.
Right. I say that we have used AI to up-res the graphics. So they're, even though it's pixel art, you know what I mean? Like, and it's kind of like, it's not hard line pixel art. So it's in between where there's some like blending and shading and stuff. We went ahead and up-res the graphics. So the resolution is higher than the original Xbox 360 version. But for the Xbox One release, it will be similar to the Switch release. Therefore, the Series X version won't be any different than that. Sorry. So it'll have all the extra content and that sort of thing. But unless Microsoft like pays me a chunk or something, I don't think we would end up being able to do anything for just for the Series X. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, other than tip of the hat to Microsoft, I think you're going to get some screaming frame rates on the Series X for Shoot One Up DX. I mean, basically, you know, like, I don't think there's going to be any slowdown there for as many ships as you can have.
Wondering if we would see like 120 frames per second on that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think we actually, I think we used Unity, and I'm saying, I think, because, I'm not on the tech side of it necessarily, but I just, I think Shay and them locked it to 60. I think they actually locked it to 60. I think it won't go above, but it won't go below either. I mean, that machine's insane. It's a beast. It would be funny to do something. I have an upper limit cap at 30 ships. It would be kind of funny to do a thing where like there's just no upper limit, or I don't know, like there's a bunch.
That would be interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, it would be fun to do like some cheat codes and give them over to the Series X, and then just like, I don't know, see how well it can do. Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be funny.
Carnage saying 1,000% speed for the Series X version.
Ooh. Well, so listen, a lot of this stuff is heritage from the Xbox 360, and I'm not being mean to the Switch, but it's slow also, and so, you know, kind of like processor bound in a lot of ways, and so we didn't go crazy with anything, but it would be funny to do like beast mode, beast release or something for the Xbox Series X, where we're just like, yeah, you can go up to 1,000%, and also you can have 1,000 ships. Like, I don't know.
Man. Oh my god!
I don't know. It's kind of pointless. It'd be more like a cheat code kind of goof off thing. You know? Big head mode. Exactly. Stuff like that. But no, there's no actual version change to the Series X for it, nor for the PS5. Other than I hope it runs on it. I don't have a dev kit, so.
Well, didn't they say that everything is supposed to be playable except for like 10 games? They said.
What was up with those 10 games? I'm dying to know.
Oh, God. I know one was Afro Samurai 2.
No, I know, like, and I had
didn't even release.
It was fun, but what happened to those games? aren't you fascinated to know why only 10 games don't work on...
I know. It's so crazy.
Like, remember how there was those discs, PS1, maybe PS2 discs that were blue on the back, but not all of them were blue on the back of the actual disc?
Yeah.
Well, the blue ones were CDs, weren't they?
Right. So I wonder if there's something weird like that with those particular games.
Maybe. I
don't know. Like...
Yeah, I'm looking at the list now. Afro Samurai 2.
10 random games, too.
I know. DWVR, which I never even heard of. Hitman Go Definitive Edition. Joe's Diner. Just Deal With It. Robinson the Journey. Shadow Complex Remastered. That's a bummer, because that's a really good game.
That's actually, yeah, Shadow Complex is pretty good.
Shadwen. Isle of Man, Right on the Edge 2. And We Sing, which that's criminal that We Sing isn't included.
But they're just such an odd, arbitrary group. So I thought, when I first heard that some games wouldn't work, I assumed it was kind of like Rekka. I assumed it was something where it dug into the hardware so deep, there was no emulating it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, of course, it used something so particular to the PS4 machine that they're not going to have it on the PS5. But no, it's just like arbitrary things.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Oh. That's the beauty of compatibility, I guess.
Yeah.
Dark Mika is saying Shadwen was fantastic. I don't remember that one.
What is it? What was the game?
Shadwen.
What style game was that? No, okay, sorry guys, I'm going to open the internet real quick and see what that is.
That's fine.
I'm still trying to find the list of games that won't work. I'm going to see the...
Shadwen. Shadwen. Okay. I think it's a stealth game, if I'm remembering right.
Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
If yeah. I don't even know if I'm remembering right. I might just be drunk right now. That's possible.
Shadowing on Steam. I see it. Neat. Okay.
Well, oh, that's only playable on the PS4.
What a weird thing. Anyway, I don't know. But I will tell you guys, we are working on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One version of Shoot 1FDX. So we're also working on the European release for Switch. So I had some...
Cool.
People ask about that, and I felt really bad about it because it kind of sounded like it came out, you know, to everything on the Switch. But basically, we didn't know how hard it was going to be to bring it to everything, so I took it easy and just we're doing North America first. Now we're looking at Europe, and it would be awesome, but we're looking at Japan as well for the Switch.
Oh,
but I can't commit to that yet. I'd love to, but we're getting close on that one. We're basically waiting to hear back from Nintendo that. What's up with that? I had to look up, they require, I asked about this on Twitter, they require, Nintendo requires the title be able to be spoken in katakana. And so I thought, or translated, it's got to be hiragana or katakana. And I was just like, you know, I kind of want the name to be phonetically spoken. I don't want it to be translated into some version of shoot. You know what I mean? You want shoot the gun, not like shoot a basketball.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in case they have a different meaning for that. And then I like one up, you know what I mean? Like that's gonna be crazy. So we actually broke the words apart into shoot and then like spelled out, you know, O-N-E and then U-P. And so now it's shoot the ona, you know, like in katakana there. So we are getting ready for the Japanese release, but we're not 100% on it yet.
Any kind of physical release?
There's been whispers.
Whispers. Yeah.
Whispers. There's been whispers. I can't confirm nor deny, but
there Golden is Robots are standing guard.
yeah, Golden Army. But if there's, you know, there's a hope, that's for sure. Let's just say that. I would love it. I would love to think on, I've been thinking on it, like what goes into the box? Does anyone like what's everyone's favorite physical release group? Like, there's Strictly Limited, there's Limited Run, there's Super Rare.
So far, Strictly Limited has been pretty awesome, but that's because they handle Taito stuff, and so I bought the Darius Cosmic Collection.
Nice.
And, man, that thing, the Collector's Edition version of that was, the CE is just incredible.
Nice.
Yeah.
I feel but obligated to give a shout-out to Physicality Games, because they're friends of the show.
Cool. What now? What I've been looking, I've been researching physical release companies, not for any particular reason. No, but I've been researching all these companies. Obviously, what did Physicality do again? I don't remember.
Physicality, they have Rolling Gunner.
Oh shoot!
One nice. Of the, I think it's a Guilty Gear game. They have physical versions of Fight Crab, which I imported, though. I imported one of that.
This is a great name.
And it came with a soundtrack, too. So
okay.
I was happy. They're still new. They don't have that many games, but, you know, there's right. has like a collector tin, a soundtrack, a steel book for the Switch, which is really cool. Yeah. They have really nice packages. So if you're looking to try getting something set up, hit up Physicality Games and tell them Joe sent you.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I was just trying to imagine like what would be in the box, you know, other than a code. It is fun to
stress relief boobies.
I was about to say that has to be something booby related.
That would be awesome. The mouse pad. The booby mouse pad.
I'm using an Agorast War mouse pad right now. I shit you not.
What is it? How do I
record of Agorast War?
Oh, oh my gosh! Are you really
titty mouse pad? That's, yep.
Oh Jesus! This is,
I think it's the fourth one I've had. It's the most comfortable mouse pad I've ever used.
Gosh, that is so such I a just good keep endorsement them. Too. They should really, really hear that. I mean, it's just like, what would be more comfortable than boob mouse pad? There you go.
Titty mouse pad. There you go. Yeah. So, stress relief titties in your collector's edition. Geez. Soundtrack, obviously.
Yeah. So, okay, the soundtrack. Unfortunately, the soundtrack did not get expanded yet to the DX version. But I'm hoping it will. And if it does, we'll do a re-release back to Switch for anything that Switch players don't have yet. And there is a possibility, if the Xbox One version takes forever or PS4, then by that time we'll have the soundtrack ready. So I'm hoping to expand the soundtrack.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. And obviously, if any physical version happened, I would plan to put that in there too, of course. That would be cool. But yeah, so soundtrack. Soundtrack's a good one. Booby mouse pad. That's a good one. How did it? Did you get it from a? Or did you buy it? Or did it come in like a collector's edition?
It came in a collector's edition, which the box was like majorly deformed because thing was folded the fuck up in there.
Oh man!
And they actually, you can get a decent amount for the collector's edition now. And I found a mouse pad online for like $12, so I jumped on it.
Nice.
The last one I used so long that the boobies became deformed from my wrist resting between them.
As they do. Yeah. That is sad. Poor boobies. Okay. Well, I don't know if I get to do it, but that would be a pretty funny pack-in for the... That could be the CE. You know what I mean? You could get the disc, yes. You know, the box version and then the CE version, and that would be cool. And then... Nice.
That's our one good idea this episode.
No, that's really solid. I would love it. I would love a physical version, but we'll see.
So is there any release window yet for the Xbox or PlayStation versions, or are they still in certification and shit like that?
Yes, they are still in shit like that, man. It's like, I don't know. You know, like, I guess I'm in Halloween mode, but you know, like when the kid wants to do a mummy and you wrap him up in toilet paper? That's what I feel like right now, but it's like red tape.
Oh, man.
Some certification stuff. The rules, I'm not going to, okay, I'm going to read you guys one of these, and I'm not going to say what company it's from. Maybe it's from like the Jaguar. Maybe it's from Atari.
It's from Nokia for the N-Gage.
Maybe it's from the Ouya. Yeah. Maybe it's from the Ouya. I'm not going to tell you what company complained about what, but
definitely Ouya.
Yeah, it's the Ouya. There's been a bug published, it says. And so I'm like, oh, okay, what's that? The following competitive platform button prompt is displayed. Press. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We showed that was a real bug. That was honest bug. Actually, we screwed that up. We showed the wrong button prompt. Okay. Okay. I can't really get mad at them for complaining about that. let me find you a better one. Let's see here. Following incorrect brand guideline is displayed within the network error message. We spelled their something wrong the way you're supposed to say when you connect to the network. We spelled, I don't know, their trademark.
Oh,
I
think
we didn't put a space in the right spot. Man, they got slide rules all over this thing. But yeah, it'll be good. Both companies, very intense, but good. So we're just think about it this way. We're that close. Like we've been through, we got grilled on, you know, this and that, and now they're crossing T's and dotting J's or whatever, and it'll be out like hopefully within a month or so is my hope.
Nice. So but Carnage will have his achievements soon.
Yes, and I'm going to give a release date as soon as I can get it, basically. That's I just hope it's not something stupid like Thanksgiving or Election Day or something like, I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like I
all the nonsense shit. I can't English. What the fuck?
I like nonsense.
Nonsense. That's where my brain's at. Nonsense shit that's coming up in the next couple months.
I think non-shit.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. I like non-shit. I don't know what that means, but it sounds cool.
Nothing I say makes sense. As
well. I liked it. Yeah. So we won't put it on something stupid like that. But it's just, you know.
November 10th.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting
in. God, no, please save it.
Okay, wait. What's November 10th? Tell me.
Xbox release date.
For what? No, but what's November 10th?
The Xbox Series X release date.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, if I was halfway lucid, I would probably be putting some of this stuff down on some sort of calendar. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, avoid Yakuza, that. Like a Dragon, Tetris Effect, and then November 12th is the PS5 and all of their games.
Well, I will tell you, John that works at Super Soul that we do the ports with, he's really good. And I mean, we're both good on it, but like he helps me where we sit and we just dig around in coming soon lists. And we, you know what I mean? And you look on the PS4, what's coming soon, and the Xbox One, and you just look and you look and look and look and look. And we just finally, that's why we picked October 15th today for this release on the Switch, because it was open.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Like it was the most open and had the most padding in between things. And so we're really careful, you know, even though we're a really tiny company and small games, we just try to be, you know, thoughtful about it, what date we pick. And so that's why we're going to pick November 11th. For
I complain all the time that it seems like we'll get all the indie games in for the week that we're supposed to review, and they're all like the same genre, and you're just like, how do I pick one when I've got 74 games that are all roguelikes and all coming out within the next 3 days?
Mm-hmm. Especially like a long game like a roguelike, you know, can see a lot of it.
Yeah. I make bad decisions, is what I'm trying to say.
A couple weeks ago, I had to review three open-ended, like open-world exploration games.
And they'll all hit the same week. There's always something every week. You can be like, every game falls into this one category. That's crazy. It's infuriating.
That's weird. What was it? So I was doing research to try to get the word out. By the way, thank you for having me on the podcast today. But for this game, and so I was digging back into old YouTubes, and the oldest thing I could, not the oldest, the most relevant thing I could find was Devil Engine that anybody covered. And so then what I would do is I would like reverse engineer and like, okay, so Devil Engine got covered by these guys. So I'm going to ask them if they want to look at my shoot 'em up on Switch, you know, that kind of thing. And, but there's not a lot of shoot 'em ups. Decent, you know, any kind of decent ones. I will give some shout outs to some shoot 'em up development buddies. You on Steam, everybody should go check out Wing Blue. Shit, now I'm sorry. I'm giving a shout out and I can't get it right. Wing Star, Blue Star, Wings of the Blue Star, Blue.
Their new name is Wing Shit. Sorry,
yeah, Wing Shit. Sorry. Right.
So it's called Wings of Blue Star. It has a nice hand-painted art style. You got me. Yeah, you should go check it out. He's got an anime girl blue hair thing going on with his protagonist, hairs.
You lost me.
Well, you know, it's a give and take. He's a good dude, and he's been working on it really hard for about 3 years now. So it's called Wings of Blue Star. Go check it out. It's on Steam. He's got like an R-Type/Bullet Hell thing going on, which is a little weird, but it's cool. If you're into shoot 'em ups at all, you should definitely go look at it. So there's that guy, and then this other guy, he made a game why am I blanking on these? Mario Lino, he made this game, and it had this really cool, it was a shoot 'em up as well. It had this really cool, what was that program where you can like sculpt in 3D, but sort of like clay? Everything looks like, I don't know if you guys have
Claybook.
I don't know. I don't remember what it's called. They always talk about it. Well, if I found it, I'll send it to you guys. Mario Lino. Let's see if I can find what this guy's name is. All right. No, I totally blanked on that. Sorry. Anyway.
happens to all of us.
Wing. Crisis Wing on Steam. Crisis Wing on Steam is a really nice retro shoot 'em up, and it looks like... The art's nice and chunky, big chunky pixels. It looks really good. Yeah, Crisis Wing. So those are some recent shoot 'em ups, but I haven't seen a lot of coverage for them. But Remote Life, that's the name of the game. That's the other one I was thinking of. Remote Life game. If you type in Remote Life game, you'll get it on Steam at the top. And the art style is kick ass. Like, it looks awesome. It's a little rough around the edges for gameplay, but another really, really like weird, cool looking shoot 'em up that's worth a look. Remote Life. That is Remote everybody. Life. Should,
if, I have if that written down. Weird games,
yeah, if they're into weird stuff like that, just check out the monsters. I love monsters, so I think he did a really good job with the monsters. So yeah, those are some cool shoot 'em ups that are coming out recently. Yeah, cool.
And yours.
And mine, Shoot 'em Up DX. Yeah. I mean, we've gotten some good reviews. I'm hoping to hear from Chris. But
yeah, that'll be next week on Wednesday. We'll hear from him.
Good deal. Yeah, no problem. And yeah, I'm feeling good about it. So it's just the long slog of like getting the next releases out. It's just taking forever because even when we get it approved, it still takes like several weeks before they said it's allowed to release. So, but it's okay. We'll just get people excited about it for when it finally comes out.
Well, we'll be sure to hype it up when the Xbox version comes around. So
awesome.
You have our sword.
Okay, awesome.
And Carnage will be behind you as well. I know that.
And you have my axe. Yes, did a really bad accent for that. What is Israel's favorite system?
Xbox?
Switch.
Switch? Okay. I just, you know, no wrong answers. I was just wondering. I mean, that's cool. Okay. So yeah, when we do Xbox, yeah, one for sure. Yeah. I don't know why I've fallen into PS4. Like I'm at PS4 right now. So I don't have a Switch and
really don't. Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of problems with it, but for some reason I've ended up with all the games on it. So that's where I am. So I like it, but I'm very interested in the Xbox Series X in terms of like all this, you know, quality of life stuff, like how fast it boots up and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, I saw some videos on it where they turned on, there wasn't even like a boot up screen. It was just instantly on.
Nice. Nice. I think that's awesome. And the PS4 makes me sad. I don't know. I've got an attached hard drive. Maybe that's why it's got problems. But the sleep mode, for me personally, the sleep mode is a complete joke in that. Like, it like whirs and glows and like, it's not asleep. Like,
I think just using an external hard drive on the PlayStation at all is a pain in the ass compared to Xbox. Xbox, you plug it in and shit just works. PlayStation, it's like rebuilding database and yes. Oh my god, I'm so tired of seeing rebuilding my library. It's
I don't know. I mean, I am excited in a weird way for the next console generation for that reason. For that, I want all of the next consoles to just be excellent. You know what I mean? Like, to just be great to use and not be a hassle. So
yeah, if everything's good, we all win.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, gamers win, and that's what's important.
Yep.
Oh man, I know we've been chatting for a while. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up?
No. I just you know, keep an eye out for my games, especially if it's on a system that you like and it's not out for yet, like Xbox One. So, you know, it's coming. And also keep an eye out for Pig Eat Ball, because it's a really great action arcade adventure game. And I just put it on sale on Switch. And let's just say it's going to go on sale on PS4 and Xbox One ahead of Shoot 'em Up DX.
Nice.
So I will be, you know, as a thank you and incentive to anybody that's interested. I'm going to put it on sale for all systems like that. So
nice.
Yeah, keep an eye out for it on Xbox One for being on sale, and hopefully something nice like half off, more. I don't know, 60%. A really good, you know, under $10 kind of price for sure.
Nice. I am looking forward to that. Loved Pig Eat Ball. That was a stupidly fun game. So I'm looking forward to more people getting their hands on it. But where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing? Give us all the info.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter, Mommy's Best Games, and Facebook. And I don't know. I'm not super into everything that like plugs into my brain, so I'm not on I don't know what are kids on. I'm not on Discord, or I'm on Discord, but like I don't like to be on it.
The TikTok. TikToks.
I'm on TikTok and
the AOL Instant Messenger, and
I'm on that. I'm on Netscape. You can find me on Netscape, you know, in GeoCities 91. Listen, if they need to get a hold of me,
Dead Journal.
If they need to get a hold of me, they can email me, Nathan@mommysbestgames.com.
Sweet.
I literally check my email and my postal mail every day. So if they want to send me a letter, that's cool too.
Cool. I'll have to get your address and send you a Christmas card.
Super creepy. I will probably not sleep for a week if I see a letter show up in my mail. So please don't send me a letter. But yeah, Mommy's Best Games on Twitter and Facebook, and you can message me there. I'll show up. But I really do answer my emails pretty often. So. Somebody asked about the German version on Twitter for Shoeing Up DX on Switch, and I wrote them back, and they said, "Wow, thanks." And I'm like, "Yeah, no problem." Like, what? I mean, I'm also on Steam, and so whenever I was doing Serious Sam Double D, people would ask me questions on the chat, and then I would respond, and then you know, they're like, "Wow, I can't believe I got a hold of you," and I'm like, "I'm just here." Like, always working all the time. I mean, like, don't abuse it. Like, you can waste my time and I won't, you know, be able to make games. But yeah, like, what did you need? Like, wow, I can't believe you responded. I'm like, what, man? Like, what's up? Tell me. I'll try to help you, but I can't sit around and talk to you all day. But, you know,
chop, get to the fucking point.
I'm like, okay, listen, I love it, but I got to go. Like, I can't, you know, I close most of my stuff all day long because otherwise I don't get anything done. But I do check things. So, yes, you can ask me any questions. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, gang.
Nathan, it's been fantastic having you on. Always a pleasure. You'll have to come back next year when some of your other remasters are ready to go.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. Yeah, I think it's cookie time. I made some chocolate chip cookies last night, so I got me a little snack.
Ooh.
Now I'm jealous. I want cookies. But yeah, mail right. me cookies. And
we're some moldy cookies in the mail.
My wife has mailed cookies before. They hold up pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'll mail you.
Mails brownies.
Surprise mail you some cookies, so you'll be really confused. You'll be like, is there arsenic in these? And the answer is yes.
Listen, they're cookies. I won't even check.
My daughter makes cookies with unicorn chocolate chips. They're literally pink and blue and white swirled chocolate chips.
Makes your tongue look funny, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're wonderful.
That's good. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We will be back with more show in just a little bit. Nathan, thank you so much for being here. Chris, thanks for hanging out with us.
Heck yeah.
Nathan, do you have any final words to end the interview?
Eat more pie. Pumpkin pie season coming up.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Thanks again to Nathan for coming on and hanging out with us, and Chris for hanging out with us, and Cole, you're still here.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob's here.
Oh, God.
And Jacob, the crowd goes wild. Yay.
Crowd goes mild.
No, oh, man.
How you doing?
I mean, I'm doing okay. I mean, it's kind of hectic. I got a full plate for like the next like 3 weeks with this podcast.
Yeah, welcome to the fucking party. So now you're an official reviewer, bro. Just like us.
Wait, what? What do you mean I'm officially a reviewer? I've been reviewing games. I've been reviewing games on this thing for like 7 years.
You don't count unless you're doing 17 a week.
Yeah.
Like a real man.
We have a quota. Mm-hmm. We have minimum thresholds.
But if it's like 17 a week, that means that Cole's the only man on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nah. She's got the biggest balls out of all of us. So.
I got chestnuts.
Chestnuts. Well, should we get to some news?
I guess we could.
We could, because there's a lot of stuff coming to Game Pass. It is a packed week for Game Pass. As October 15th, we got 5 new additions. Age of Empires 3 Definitive Edition hit PC. Eve Hope hit PC. The Swords of Ditto, Mormo's Curse hit PC. Katana Zero hit everything. And then Tales of Vesperia hit console and PC. That's all in one day.
Searching. Because Tales of Vesperia and Katana Zero were the only ones I know anything about.
Well, the other are all on PCs, though. And Carnage said they didn't have Xbox Live integration. So I don't think they have achievements.
That's okay.
Play shit. That's well, yeah. I've seen some of the games you review. Yes, you do play shit.
It's cool. Next week, October 21st, we're getting Scourgebringer, which looks friggin' awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then October 22nd, we're getting Superland, which looks awesome as well. Cole, that looks like you'd be interested in that. And yes. Cricket 19, baby.
Hell,
I'm so excited. Yes. That's my jam right there.
I know it. Everyone's going to be excited about Cricket 19.
Honestly, I'm unironically kind of excited about that game.
Why?
I used to play a Cricket Flash game back when I was in high school on this. I don't even know if it's still around, but it was like an Indian entertainment site called Hungama, which one of the Indian kids I went to school with, like, he introduced me to it. And it had like a shitload of Flash games and stuff like that. And one of them was a Cricket game, and we used to like play it all the damn time. I was terrible, but it was a lot of fun. So,
well, now you just need to get Game Pass
and back up. Yeah, you know, only like 16 years after the last time I played a Cricket game.
Yeah, you're set. But it's not all good news. There are a bunch of games leaving Game Pass as well. Sadly, at the end of the month, After Party is leaving. Lego Star Wars 3, Rise and Shine, Tacoma is leaving console and PC, Lord of the Rings Adventure Card Game is leaving console and PC, and the Red Strings Club is leaving PC.
Okay, I gotta knock out some achievements.
Yeah. Rise and Shine is Tacoma a really cool one.
I played Rise and Shine when it came out, I think.
And then, Jacob, I'm sure you're sad about Lego Star Wars 3 leaving.
I think I own it, so.
No, then whatever.
Yeah, because they gave it away for Xbox games with gold once, didn't they?
I don't remember. I bought a code for it off because they sold it with a controller or some shit a couple years ago, and I bought a code off eBay for it for like $5.
That's fair.
Nah.
I've never played it, but, you know, I'm pretty sure I own it.
Probably.
So.
Yeah. Sony is updating their online store later on this month, and there's some changes that are coming. You will no longer be able to buy the following items. PS3 games and add-ons, PSP games and add-ons, PS Vita games and add-ons, apps, themes, and avatars are all going to be unavailable on the web store. You will only be able to buy those on their respective consoles.
Mm. That sucks.
Yeah, especially for the Vita. Like, that's a slap in the face to the Vita.
Well, the Vita existing was a slap in the face of the Vita.
Dude, I love my Vita. I shit on Sony all the time, but I love my Vita. It is a quality piece of hardware. Suck it.
I'm just contemplating how, like, Xbox has gone so hard into the If you've ever even looked at an Xbox game, you can now play it on whatever Xbox you want. And PlayStation's like, get fucked. You can't even buy this shit no more. And it's very weird.
Well, you can't buy it on the web store. Like, if you still have a Vita, you could still jump on the Vita and buy stuff.
I still find that weird. But then I'm the kind of person who legit sits down at the computer and looks for the game I want and then buy it.
Yeah,
to me, it would be problematic.
I browse the PlayStation website a lot more than I browse the console. Well, I don't browse the console anymore now because I sold it, but you know what I mean.
The Nintendo eShop is a bitch in that regard, too, though. Not the friendliest to shop online. It's kind of a pain, but...
Sorry, Cole. I thought you were done.
Just go, Jacob. Go.
Oh, okay. All right, so, like, to be fair, I mean, with, like, all the backwards compatibility issues that Sony has, you know, with, you know, you can only play the previous generation and stuff like that, they're probably doing it to make it less confusing for customers. That way, like, you know, if you own a PS5, you're not online trying to, like, purchase a PS3 game. Like,
that's true.
That way that they're restricting it. Oh, okay. Well, I'm on my PS3. The only way I can get it is if I purchase it through my PS3. That way you don't have all these angry customers. Because if Sony's not going to support it, then they need to clear out that avenue so then they don't have to deal with a bunch of people who can't read, you know, what systems the games will play on. Meanwhile, Microsoft is just, you know, it's as Cole said, you know, you can now play like four generations of shit on your Xbox Series X, so they don't care.
No. Strange enough, the wish list feature is also going away from PlayStation. Of all things, the wish list.
What?
Yeah. And anything that's on your wish list is just going to be removed from it, so.
That's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't fucking know, because it's Sony. They do dumb shit all the time.
Is that going to be on console or is that just up on the website?
That's completely. The wish list is going away completely.
Okay, that's just really fucking dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, some other news. Rockstar Games has purchased Ruffian Games, and they are now known as Rockstar Dundee. Ruffian is known for Crackdown 2 when working on the Master Chief Collection, so they are now part of Rockstar.
Interesting.
They figure Microsoft would have scooped them up if they had worked on their properties.
I think they worked on Crackdown 3 as well, so maybe that's why Microsoft didn't buy them.
I liked Crackdown 3. It was short as hell, but, you know.
I liked the campaign. The multiplayer was abysmal.
Multiplayer was trash. Let me tell you one thing. I have a wish list for who Microsoft buys. Whoever it was that Rockstar just picked up wasn't it. So it's fine.
Who is on your wish list?
Bloober Team. I'm just waiting for it, like, bated breath. You know it's going to happen.
It might.
It's inevitable.
They've been buddy-buddy a lot, so.
They are making the kissy faces, and I like it. And now we need them to, like, go full in together and just... studio acquisitions after dark.
Making the kissy faces.
Yeah.
That's a legal term.
I think that needs to be the episode title, Joe. Talktober, making the kissy faces.
Sorry, it's Talktober gets shooty.
So disappointed.
I mean, we had Romancy last episode, so we can't do kissy.
Well, this could be the week of Romancy, you know, titles.
But we have to pay tribute to Nathan and shoot one up DX. So, Talktober gets Nathan-y.
Shoot one up the X?
DX.
Shed. Oh.
Pay attention to what we're doing on the show.
No, that requires work.
505 Games has confirmed that with the closure of Lab Zero Games, there will be no further development on Indivisible, and the North American physical Switch release has also been scrapped. So that is sad news. Indivisible was really cool, but I guess with Lab Zero dissolving and falling the fuck apart, that just scrapped everything.
Mm.
So, I mean, like, you could still buy the game, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they're pulling it from sale at all. And there are physical versions of the game on Xbox and PlayStation. Yes, yeah, surprisingly, there's a physical version of an indie game on Xbox, but not on Switch. How weird is that?
That is fairly weird.
Yeah.
That's where all their money went and why they had to dissolve.
Yeah. Aki's saying, Observer News, like Observer Redux, since you're talking about Bloober Team, they are actually doing promotional pricing until the 20th on Observer System Redux on Epic Game Store and on Xbox. If you own Observer already, you can get Observer System Redux for 80% off down to $5.99. So they're not doing a free upgrade, but it's close.
Mm-hmm.
So you only have until the 20th to jump on that. So don't dilly dally. No fucky round.
I am not dilly dallying. I am going to the store to buy it right now.
Good. Yes, it's only for people who own Observer already, so it's not new purchases. New purchases are still $30.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Last bit of news I have is that word is Microsoft has quietly extended this warranty for the Elite Controller Series 2 from 3 months to 1 year and are refunding people who have previously paid for repairs. This, as word of a class action lawsuit, is being filed for defects in the controller. I think it's a smart move from Microsoft. They should be more vocal about it and let people actually know about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people having issues with a $170 controller in the first 3 months isn't good.
Yeah. I'd like to see them come with 1 year or extended warranties anyway. And it should just be a thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So any thoughts on the controller, Jacob?
I mean, it makes sense what they're doing, but I haven't heard anything about it until now, so I don't exactly have an opinion on it. But, you know, I do appreciate that they're actually like refunding people who had to pay for repairs and stuff like that. I mean, that's obviously in the right direction.
Yeah. Some people are saying that if you've already gotten a replacement, that the warranty doesn't cover the replacement. So if the replacement goes bad, you're fucked, which I think is shitty.
That's kind of dumb.
Again, that's a $180 controller. So I don't know if these are just like miscommunications or if this is actual policy, but either way, they got to take care of people who spend that much money on their controllers.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of dumb because, I mean, like back when the 360s were red ringing and stuff like that, if your Xbox was still under warranty and you sent it in and shit like that, when they sent it back to you, like you still got like an extra year warranty on your system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's weird that they're not extending that, unless they're so damn sure of their product,
which I don't think they are.
Well, I mean the replacement product, but
nah, I don't know. But that's the news I have. Anything either you want to talk about, or should we just dive into reviews?
Dive into it.
What the hell?
Well, what do you want to talk about then?
Well, I mean, like you can get Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for free on Steam right now. Like Sega's doing like a big birthday celebration. Yeah, 60th
anniversary thing. They're also releasing a handful of like betas and demos and weird shit like that. I think they're only available until the 19th. So you got to be quick on the draw with those too.
They're not like they're doing a mashup of Streets of Rage 2 and Yakuza.
Yeah.
And a Golden Axe like one level demo that somebody had made back in like I think it was like 2012.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they're calling it Golden Axe, and the guy who originally made it had this huge Twitter thread about how upper management like completely bungled the whole thing, and so Sega apologized and they rewrote their description on it. So there's that.
Yeah, so check Steam for Sega's goodies. Those are only available for a few days.
Did you watch the Monster Hunter trailer?
No.
Cole?
Yes. I'd stop and think about what you were talking about for a second. Yes, I did.
Granted, I've barely played any of the Monster Hunter games, but I thought it was pretty underwhelming.
I don't know why there are so many guns.
It's probably cheaper.
It's probably... Well, like, there's a whole scene with, like, the military being brought in and stuff. That shit doesn't happen in Monster Hunter.
Well, I'm guessing this is a movie you guys are talking about.
Yes, yeah. They're making a Monster Hunter movie based on the game. Paul W.S.
Anderson, the guy who directed like half of the Resident Evil movies,
oh, God.
And is married to Mila Jovovich, who is amazingly enough the star. Uh-huh. You know, it's like some army or mercenary group gets sucked into this like vortex that dumps them into the Monster Hunter world. And they have to like figure out how to get back. And so my guess is at the end of the movie, they get back and the U.S. military knows that they're coming or something like that. And so there's like planes that get dropped by a bunch of dragons and shit like that.
Oh, Lord.
It seemed like whatever. I'm sure it's going to make a bunch of money overseas.
I don't know. And they're Monster Hunter purists overseas.
All right, Cole.
Uh-huh.
Let me just put it to you this way. Dragon Ball Evolution made like a nice chunk of profit overseas.
That is a good point.
They did not give a crap.
That is a good point.
If they will be forgiving for Dragon Ball Evolution, which I thought was okay, but I was also drunk as hell watching it.
the funny part was somebody was saying like in there's a whole like mildly romantic subplot with Mila, whatever her last name is. Yeah, her character apparently crushing on the chef, the cat chef.
The what?
You know how Monster Hunter has the cats that are chefs?
No.
What is wrong with you?
I mean, plenty, but I've barely played any of the Monster Hunter games. I think I played it once over at
a Before house. You go hunt a monster, you have to eat, and you have a feline with you, with a Y, not an I, a palico. And there are some palicos who don't go out into the field. They're chefs. And, like, apparently the one that they put in the movie is, like, big hulked up for some fucking reason. I don't understand the point of that. But, yeah, and, like, there's some kind of romantic subplot. It's very... Oh, I was like, I'm not diving into that any more than what I had to.
I would have figured that she would be hooking up with, like, Tony Jaa. But
I don't know who that is either.
he's the guy that they discover in the Monster Hunter world. Like he's almost like the big, huge fuck off sword. He's been in like a string of martial arts movies. Like, have you ever seen the Ong Bak trilogy?
Nope.
No.
Okay. Well, you need to see it. They're amazing movies. Shit. I'm trying to think of anything recent that he's done. He was supposed to be in the latest. Was he in the? He might have been in Fate of the Furious.
I don't know.
I don't know.
This I have no input in this entire conversation because I didn't see the trailer.
Now you know how I feel about a lot of shit.
True. I'm just sitting here confused. I'm just waiting to get to the reviews at this point. I don't know what the fuck y'all are talking about.
Useless, Joe.
I'm very useless.
Before we jump off of the whole cat thing, I'm gonna send. I gotta figure out how to use a computer, apparently, because my brain is mush. Here, this is what the chefs look like in Monster Hunter. I'm about to drop it in chat too. And if you listen to this later, get fucked. I can't help you. You're gonna have to Google that on your own.
Cole, why are you sending me porn?
Those are the chefs in Monster Hunter.
I have never seen one of those before.
They're in that. Well, I know for a fact they're in Monster Hunter World because that's the one I played the shit out of. But
they're
called palicos, and apparently the new Monster Hunters are going to have dogs, and I already forget what they call them. But yeah,
cool.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is called Star Wars Squadrons, developed by Motive Studios, published by Electronic Arts, released October 2nd on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $39.99. Master the art of starfighter combat and the authentic piloting experience Star Wars Squadrons. Buckle up, feel the adrenaline of first-person multiplayer space dogfights alongside your squadron, and learn what it means to be a pilot in a thrilling Star Wars single-player story. Jacob, tell us about Star Wars Squadrons.
All right, so, I mean, I've got a huge history with Star Wars. Like, I don't remember a point in my life that I haven't been a fan of Star Wars. Like, I've been watching the movie since I was at least 3 years old, you know, played with action figures since, you know, roughly the same time. So this game was a big deal for me, especially since I used to play like the old X-Wing and TIE Fighter, and then X-Wing versus TIE Fighter games back in the day, but also Wing Commander, which, for those of you who know your EA history, that was a big deal back in the 1990s, which of course had, you know, its own connection to Star Wars, multiple ways. Like the biggest being, first off, that Wing Commander initially started as an X-Wing prototype that Lucasfilm turned down.
I didn't know and that. Then
LucasArts turned down. And then, Chris Roberts and Origin took it to EA and they're like, oh yeah, make it. And then it came out, LucasArts was like, oh, shit, we should be doing this. And then, of course, Wing Commander also had Mark Hamill in it, so fuck yeah. Anyway, so let me first off begin that this has made my game of the year decision very tough. And I may have to make a special designation because Yakuza 2 is, you know, a remaster, and Star Wars Squadron is not, so that way I can have two games of the year. I may have to cheat. I may have to cheat this time.
Well, tell us, what is Star Wars Squadrons? We still haven't gotten that point right yet.
Okay, so it's an outer space flight simulator set in the Star Wars universe post, you know, a new, like, it starts a little bit during or right either during or immediately after the events of New Hope, you know, episode 4, and then it jumps ahead a few years to after Return of the Jedi and stuff like that. But you're essentially playing both sides. You get to play as the Rebel Alliance and the Imperials, and you get to play as, you get to customize your own pilot, and you essentially fly a bunch of missions. Now, sometimes, you know, the story is going to be very one-sided and you're only going to see the Rebel side. Other missions, you know, you'll play the Rebel side and then you'll play the Imperial side of the same exact mission. So that's kind of neat as it goes along with the storyline. And there's lots that you can do with your stuff. You can do cosmetic upgrades to your ships. And you get to fly, you know, it's pretty much every Star Wars fan's pilot, like, who wants to be a pilot, their dream. Like, you get to fly all sorts of different ships, and god damn it, it is fun. like, it is super exciting. Because, I mean, the outer space, flight sims in general, like, kind of had their heyday back in the 90s. And they just really haven't been as big for years. I mean, like, Chris Roberts, you know, he either broke your heart or he's giving you tons of hope with Star Citizen. But Star Wars Squadrons really gives a nice callback to the good old days of, like, back in the 90s, where you had X-Wing, you had Wing Commander. And as, you know, sorry, I got really excited about this game.
I can tell.
So, like, one of the things I thought was really nice is that in between each missions, like, you're back on your ship and you can talk to your other pilots. It's set up like just like how Wing Commander, you can look around at your environments and stuff like that. I was a little like sad that you couldn't explore them more, because they put a fucking ton of detail into like the Rebel cruisers, and it's so nice being able to like look around on the inside, but also you once again get like an actually good scope of just how big these ships are, or, you know, alternatively how small these ships are, compared to one another. And it's just, you know, everything looks great. The gameplay is great. My only gripe with the missions is that, like, I mean, I hate I'm not a big fan of escort missions, and there's a couple ones where it's just like, oh, you have to intercept these missiles before they hit things, and it's just like, yeah, I just want to blow up shit. Like, you know, let me get to the good stuff.
No.
But otherwise, you know, I'm fine with the missions. My only complaint about the storyline itself is that it's the tired trope of, like, you know, this isn't going to be that much of a spoiler, but it's just like, it's the tired trope of, oh, well, we have an Imperial defector who's going to move over to the Rebel Alliance. Like, you know, EA did it with Star Wars Battlefront 2 as well. And it's just, yeah, I get it, but it's the same exact same, like, same story beat as the other ones.
No.
And it's a little tired, but it's like, whatever. It's just a commentary. And then at the same time, it also tries to humanize the space Nazis, which is a little, I don't know, you know, as back in the 90s, it wasn't as much of an issue. But nowadays, I think with everything going on in the world, yeah, it's cool to have a different perspective. But at the same time, they're still space Nazis.
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever. Anyway, the game also has an online multiplayer, which right now is a tad chaotic. It's fun and it's chaotic. I will warn you, it really felt like most of the battles were one-sided. So you're either really going to crush the enemy or you're absolutely going to get creamed. and that's partially with, like, just how you, like, who you're, you know, who's on your team and stuff like that. But none of the matches I've played thus far have ever felt incredibly close. I don't know. And I know that they have to work on a bunch of balancing and stuff like that. And EA is going to be working on balancing. Right before this show, there was like a 2 gig update to the game. So EA is working on it. They are fine tuning it, but you know, it's chaotic, but as I said, it's fun. And then like, and they're going to keep fine tuning it. So I don't have any issues with the product that we've gotten, with it.
Well, then for $40, what are your thoughts?
30.
40.
Oh, okay, 40.
Yeah, $39.99.
Well, this cheapskate bought it for that. So, yes.
Proud of you.
Yay, I bought a game at, you know, release date prices. I'm a grown adult.
Yeah, I put some time into the game as well. I had a lot of fun with it. It is a gorgeous looking game.
Oh my God, it's so good. Oh, holy God. It is so amazing. Like, especially like when your ship is about to blow up and stuff like that. I love how like the cockpit like starts filling up with smoke. And I really wish I had a VR headset to play this with, because that's got to look, make this game look even more amazing.
Does it have VR support just, like, on other platforms?
For PC.
Nice.
One of the guys I work with, says it's a little janky and it's not as well detailed as when you're just playing it normally. But it's still a lot of fun. And I'm really envious because he bought a joystick, joystick and throttle specifically for this game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I really wish I had that kind of set up for the Xbox version, but that's way too much money. So, but it still feels right on the controller, like, you know, and the controls themselves are easy, like, you know, they're laid out fairly easily, you know, with balance, like whether you want to like put everything towards engines or shields or weapons or just have everything balanced initially. You know, everything feels right. It's so goddamn good to have these kind of games back. And I just really hope that more, you know, developers take notice and we get more, like, we can bring back that golden age, because that would just be so nice.
Yeah. And props to it for only being $40 too. Instead of a full price, 60.
I would have been okay with 60. I mean, which I know I like, we probably shouldn't be telling EA that, but I'm perfectly, you know, that $40 price tag is fantastic. Like, and of course, if you're doing Bing rewards, then, you know, like you could easily earn this game in like less than 2 months. So
true. All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Monster Truck Championship, developed by Taeon, published by Nacon, released October 15th on Steam, October 20th on Xbox One and PS4 for $49.99. The first Monster Truck simulation, a unique and challenging motor racing experience where local or online victory depends solely on our driving skills. 16 customizable trucks, 25 arenas, and 3 leagues to win to become champion. Jacob, tell us about Monster Truck Championship.
It is indeed unique and challenging.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I will say that. I don't even know where to begin with this. Like, this is one of the hardest games I've ever had, like driving games I've ever had to play.
Really?
And it's just, yeah, the controls are a mess. Like, it's just like, and even if, like, when you have it on beginner setting, like, it, the game just does not, like, really help you out. And it's just, you're trying to navigate stuff, and then it's like, oh, well, you have to control your forward wheels and your backward wheels with two different, like, controls. And it's just, I never had a race that I did better than, I never placed in the top half. Like, it just, I don't know. It's just the control, like, I honestly felt the controls were absolute crap. Like, the monster trucks just handled poorly. And the tutorials were literally no help whatsoever. Especially when they're trying to get you to do tricks and stuff like that. Joe and I both had issues with the nose wheelie.
Still haven't got it.
You still haven't gotten
it. No, I can't figure the fucking nose wheelie out to save my life. I just...
And, like, the little ghost thing keeps getting in your way when you're trying to do it. But also, like, the demonstration, I don't think it's right. I honestly don't think it's set up correctly. And the only way I was able to do it was by dicking around, like, doing, like, weird-ass tricks and then accidentally landing on my front and then able to do the wheelie for, like, all of 2 seconds. But the game counted it, and I got my achievement, and I'm just like, cool. All right, I am done trying to do these.
Win-win. Yeah, I will agree that the handling in this game is definitely the thing that's holding it back the most. I understand what they were going for with the dual analog stick control system with controlling the front and the back wheels. I couldn't do it to save my life. Like,
it never felt right.
No, I just stuck with in the races with just the front wheels. And when I was doing the stunt missions or the destruction missions, it was basically luck of the draw. Whether I pushed the right directions to spin or do a donut or get back up onto my wheels.
Everything feels like luck.
Yeah. It doesn't feel very, I don't know, welcoming.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I mean, you know, it asks, like, you know, how good are you at these types of games? And so even if you're choosing, like, the beginner or, like, novice or whatever it was called, you know, settings, you know, you figure it would have been like, okay, we're going to hold your hand and we're only going to make you control this, you know? And it's just, it's not there. Like, it still expects you to do everything. And it's just...
it's tough to pick up on, and it's tough to really grasp the controls. I did a better job than you, obviously, because I actually won some events. And
congratulations on you for that.
I was actually doing pretty decent. I do have an issue. I noticed visually a lot of pop up during races, like pop in. Visually, it wasn't
a wall once.
You went through a wall. Nice.
Yeah, like it actually clipped me through a wall. Like, I mean, it didn't like crash the course or anything like that. But I did clip right through it and then bounce right back. I was not impressed.
And yeah, I enjoyed it a little bit more than you, I think. $50, I still think, is a steep price for this. I appreciate all the content that they put into it with the 3 different leagues, all the arenas, all the trucks. There were even some like pre-order bonus skins and shit like that. It's just if you can't get a hold of the controls in this game, it's a losing battle right away.
It would be nice if there was a demo for this game for people to try it with. But
yeah.
This is not a game I can recommend. And it's just the controls never feel right and never gets any easier.
No. Well, for $50, your official verdict?
Absolutely not.
No, I give it. Yeah. A hesitant try. I don't think it's an absolutely awful game. I think
showed up on Game Pass, I would say try it there. But
I don't think it's going to show up on Game Pass. Maybe we might see a free weekend out of it eventually. It's definitely something where you have to get your hands on it to actually understand what the game is bringing to the table, because just hearing about it or just watching it isn't going to be enough. So listening to this review is kind of stupid, because it's a tough game to review. It is the first Monster Truck simulation. We've seen Monster Truck games before, but they've all been like arcadey and over the top. And this is definitely a more grounded simulation style game. It is approachable enough to warrant possibly like giving a go if it does have a free weekend, or if you could find a demo, or if you could rent it. If Gamefly, does Gamefly still exist?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think Gamefly's existed for years.
I don't know, but I don't think it's a deny it. I do wish it were cheaper, but
Gamefly, you know, does still exist.
I'll be damned.
I just looked it up. But your shipment may take longer to return or receive due to carrier volume and processing times due to pandemic protocols.
What? Pandemic? What the hell are they talking about?
Yep.
You know what? I was also thinking of the wrong thing. Gamefly is that thing that you get through the mail. What was that, like, online subscription service? What the heck was that thing, buddy, back in the day?
No.
Gamefly?
Was it Gamefly? I don't think it was. I thought it was like something that just straight up went under.
I don't think you was. Now what? No, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about, Bianca.
Cole, you're not. Grandma, go to bed.
I haven't had my meds this week because I forgot.
take your pills and go to bed, Grandma.
No, bye. She can't. We have a lot of reviews to do still. Because the next game to talk about is called Red Wings Aces of the Sky, developed and published by All In Games, released October 13th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Red Wings Aces of the Sky is a dynamic action game that will put you in the middle of amazing battles from the pages of history in a brand new arcade gameplay style. Witness aerial dogfights from breakthrough stage of History of Flight with the courage of pilots bordered on insanity, and the stakes were never higher. Jacob, tell us about Red Wings Aces of the Sky.
Hell yeah. This game is awesome. Like, if anybody who's listening to this, all five of you, if you played the Snoopy versus the Red Baron Xbox arcade game from the Xbox 360, it plays an awful lot like that, which means that the controls are tight, it's very arcadey, and it's a hell of a lot of fun. So, you know, as the description said, you know, you're playing through various World War One missions, you know, obviously in World War One planes, with more of them that you unlock as, you know, you do more missions. And of course, you know, as you meet certain mission objectives, which a lot of them are just, you know, finish the mission in under a certain amount of time, or, you know, score X amount of points, which you get through a multiplier as you kill enemy planes, like, you know, bing, 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 like one right after the other. And so the missions themselves are not particularly difficult. However, you know, finishing, like, to get the points and stuff like that, that you need to be able to upgrade your plane and stuff, you really do have to just stick to the mission guidelines, which can be, that can be in its own right a bit of a challenge, because you really, like, you know, the more, like, enemy, like, observation balloons that you destroy, oh, here's reinforcements, blah, 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 blah. Like, and so, yeah, you know, there's, like, one mission where it's like, oh, well, you have to destroy three of them. Like, if you've only destroyed the weather balloons, you've suddenly got, like, 15 enemy planes, like, coming down on your ass, which can really make, you know, getting that last balloon really, you know, really damn hard. But of course, you know, as I said, you're still trying to juggle time. And of course, you play both sides. You play as, you know, the Allies versus the Germans and all them. Man, it's been a long time since I studied World War One stuff. I don't even remember what the triple entrant, I believe it was called, was. Whatever.
I don't remember. Anyway. I'm too old to remember that shit.
Yeah, it's been a while. But anyway, And so, yeah, it's just like, it's a ton of fun.
It's beautiful too. I love the visuals in this game. It's got a nice cel shaded look to it. Very animated. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. And of course, like, you know, as you go on and destroy more enemy planes, like you earn powers that you can, or I don't want to say earn, but like you charge up powers that you have, which like you can either tell your squadron to like go take on a certain target. You can do this like insta kill move, or you can flip your plane around, which then grants you temporary invulnerability.
Or do a barrel roll.
Yeah, doing a barrel roll also does that as well. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just, I understand like the point system for it, but like if you're not the best at these kind of games, it really makes it hard to upgrade your plane. And so, of course, like, you know, you could just write it off as, well, you know, get good scrub. I don't know. I just kind of feel like it leaves that kind of stuff out. I wish there was like an alternative. Like, you either earn the points by doing the mission objectives under a certain amount of time, or you play the missions enough that, you know, you eventually earn the points to be able to do it.
No.
I wish there was some sort of balance for that for the not so seasoned players. But that's honestly really my only complaint. Because we got this a little early, I couldn't find anyone to play multiplayer with. So I can't really review that, but I've got high hopes for it. I'm hoping it's going to be as good as like the Snoopy game back in the day, which, you know, that the single player and multiplayer for that were a barrel of fun. Single player for this is a ton of fun. I'm hoping multiplayer is for this. It's definitely a game I'm going to be keeping on my Xbox for a long time.
Nice. So $20, your verdict?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Cool. And if you are on the fence, Xbox has a free trial of the game, so you can give it a try and just see if you like it. And it is apparently 50% off on the Switch until October 28th. And Carnage is saying it doesn't have online. So it might be, I think it has local co-op.
Oh, that might be why I couldn't find anybody.
Possibly. It says Xbox Live local multiplayer and Xbox Live local co-op. So it looks like local only.
So my dumbass just sat there at my Xbox.
I am so proud of you.
Oh, wow. This might be one for the record books.
I am so proud of you.
The next... Jesus Christ.
I seriously sat there for like 10 minutes.
That is beautiful.
I'm just sitting there like, oh man, nobody's online. That's weird.
Came out on the 13th. What the hell?
Oh my God.
Good stuff. All right. Well, Jacob, always a pleasure having you on. We'll let you get going.
No, it's not. It's
yeah,
not
true. I know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. You have any final words before we let you get going?
I really don't, but holy crap, I am now so goddamn embarrassed about Red Wings.
I can't wait until All In hears this. They're like, your reviewer is a dipshit.
We appreciate how excited he is about the game, but damn,
he's stupid.
An idiot.
I don't think your reviewer properly played the game.
Gosh.
Oh man, let's not get into that, Cole.
That is fantastic. Anyway, good night, everybody.
Take it easy, Jacob. You have yourself a wonderful night. Oh my lord. All right. Next game to talk about is called Cake Bash, developed by High T Frog, published by CoatSync, released October 15th on Xbox One for $19.99. Fight to be the tastiest cake in Cake Bash, a frantic four-player party game where adorable, drawn-to-life cakes beat the crumbs out of each other. Cole, tell us about Cake Bash.
This game actually has online multiplayer.
It does.
Like, and we forgot to play it.
No, we did.
Well, I didn't play it with you, but I did play it.
So I played it by myself as well. You had your own local multiplayer abilities.
And I did play it online, although I did have one instance where I was trying to play it online without calling in reinforcements of my own. And I had, like, sat forever, and the one dude just kept popping in and out, and you could tell he was getting so pissed and getting stuck with me, and nobody else was joining us. Oh, and, like, man. He'd pop out, pop back in, pop out, but, he, like, I could just hear him cussing at his Xbox.
God damn it, this person again.
Fuck is everybody but this one dumb bitch? You know, anyway, the game itself is a multiplayer, again, local or online, and it's just a party game. The premise is that you are desserts of all kinds of shapes and varieties. You get to choose the dessert that represents you the best from what's there. But then you basically just bash the shit out of each other's cakes in a ton of different scenarios. Some of my favorites was fork knife, where four cakes are on a bigger cake where slices are being pulled out of it, and you have to run around and avoid forks and knives that are being thrown at the cake over and over and over.
Yeah, I got stabbed.
I did too, and I was the last one. I was so mad. I was purposely trying to push somebody into the knife, and I pushed a little too hard.
Proud of you.
I kamikaze'd it. It was not the best moment of my life. Not the worst either, but not the best.
I like the jelly bean one, where you had to collect the jelly beans and beat the shit out of each other to knock the jelly beans off of them.
Yeah, that one was fun. The jelly beans would drop down, and then you had to collect as many of them as you could. And then, like, if somebody had too many, you could just go mollywop them.
Mollywop them.
You never heard that? Is that a redneck?
I've never heard mollywop.
You just mollywop them.
What the hell is mollywop?
It's the way to say you knock them in the next week.
Dear listeners, if you ever heard of the term mollywop, please write us the smlpodcast@gmail.com. Explain this one to me, because I never heard mollywop. That's a new one.
It's a thing. terrible. So yeah, you just make them lose their jelly beans, and then you can either try to scoop them up as quick as you can for yourself, or either way, you're going to make life a little unfortunate for whoever you hit. There's another one that I really enjoyed where you had to roast s'mores or just like marshmallows, and you had like the little charcoal briquettes, and you had to actually hold the marshmallow down over it and try not to burn it, and decorate yourself with as many toasted marshmallows as you can that weren't burnt. And so you got points based on the doneness. So if it was perfectly done, you got 100 points. If it was underdone, you might have only got like 45 or so. And if it was overdone, you got less depending on how badly burnt it was. That one was probably one of the top ones. And I don't know why, but it was kind of chill because you weren't forced to run around with everybody else. It was just how fast can you toast the marshmallows, right? Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that one the best. I was like, I could play a game where I like do nothing but roast the marshmallows and I'd be happy. I apparently have really low standards for what I want in games.
You do. I do have a complaint. I ran into repeat games fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it does seem like there's a whole lot to choose from. What's there is super good, and I think there's a lot of variety in them. But then, like, once you've run the gamut, that's that.
Yeah.
And then it's just, you know, lather, rinse, repeat. You do have an option. The option, if you're playing, I guess I imagine, does it? Yeah, I guess it is a multiplayer. Anyway, you get to pick which, it'll give you two options. It doesn't let you pick which, if you're playing solo with like bots or playing local only, it doesn't let you pick which game type pops up. They just kind of pop up randomly. There's like this whole little competition where you have like somebody has to be the tastiest cake. And that was the one that I was playing alone with the bots when my children were doing schoolwork. And I couldn't make them go play with me. So I was playing it alone with bots, and basically like it was like it would pop up a game type on its own, and then you could choose from one of the two scenery, background sceneries or locations of where you had the mini game at. The bots are kind of cruel, and it didn't matter what I picked, the bots would always go for the other one. And I never got to play on the map I wanted because the bots were getting up against me. I was like, you dirty motherfuckers, bots. Stop it.
I don't think it's majority rules on that, because the one time it was 3-1 and it still picked my game.
No, the bots definitely got their choice over me. And I was like, what is this? That was some bullshit. But it was a good time. It was fun. And I even playing with the bots, I do think it would be nice if there was like a bot difficulty scale.
Yeah, that'd
if there
be
was
nice.
One, I missed it. But it because the bots will kick your ass. In between,
also, random luck will kick your ass too, because the toppings you can get, there's an option to get a random one for cheap. Mm-hmm. And I was in the lead the entire game until I bought a random one with my last two coins and lost 40 whole points.
Ouch.
Yeah, and it ended up as a three-way tie at first.
I purposely didn't buy any of the random ones. I just kept buying the ones that were available. If I didn't have enough, so be it. But
yeah, I just had two coins left, so I figured, what the hell? And I got an achievement for it, because it was on the final thing. I did a random one on the final thing.
Yeah, and got fucked. Well, at least you got an achievement for your fuckery, though.
I did.
But I got an achievement for being the tastiest cake, so
I'm proud of you. Well, $20 on Cake Bash. What do you think?
I think it's a lot of fun. I was a little sad at how hard it was to find a full game with randoms. This is one of those. This would be awesome on Game Pass kind of games. Yeah. You know, where like you don't really have to sell your friends on it. You could be like, let's just go play this for 30 minutes. And then you wake up and realize you spent the whole night playing Cake Bash. That's kind of the way that I think this game would play best. But I think I'm going to roll with a recommended try on it. Because like you said, there weren't enough game types to keep it going.
No.
It's definitely one of those that you've got to be playing with people you enjoy playing with and are joking and carrying on with, as opposed to just like trying to play against the bots for an extended period of time.
Yeah, I think it has the same drawback as Fall Guys, where there's only a set number of games, but the plus side with Fall Guys is that they're able to add more to it. I don't know if we'll see more added to Cake Bash or not.
Yeah, I would like to see more added to it, though.
Yeah. All right, well, next game to talk about is called This is the Zodiac Speaking, developed by Punch Punk Games, published by Klebader, released October 15th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Story-driven mystery thriller horror with stealth and detective modes based on facts from world-famous story of Zodiac, a never-captured American serial killer. Cole, tell us about this one.
So there's two ways to play this game, which I'm going to keep just referring to as Zodiac because the name is like long-winded as shit. Mm-hmm. So, but there's two ways to play this game. You can play it as like a full-on horror with stealth elements, or you can do like I did and take the cheap way out and play it like a walking sim. And I think that's fantastic. I didn't realize how badly I needed a good unsettling walking sim. I just kind of felt like the game scratched an itch I didn't know I had. It has a bit of a, not necessarily a low poly aesthetic, but just a very stylized look. It's set in the 70s. It's very much so got 70s vibes with the color palette and everything. I do have one minor-ish gripe. There's like this screen tearing type effect that they've used in the game. Not quite like a CRTV scanline kind of thing. A CCT, the scanline. It's not like scanlines, but it just kind of like flickers and looks like it's glitchy or screen tearing. I don't think it's a problem with the game. I think it's an intentional aesthetic choice. And I don't like it. Not in that it's, you know, it's weird or it looks bad kind of way, but in that it's jarring and takes you out of the game for a moment kind of way. Like, you can find yourself adjusting to an unusual looking world if you, you know, if you're invested in the characters and stuff. But when you're invested into a world that already looks kind of unusual, and then you're topping it off by adding some kind of visual quirk like that, it pulls you out of it. And you're like, right, game, not a real situation. And it's hard to feel more comfortable in the environment, if that makes sense. That said, still, I felt like it scratched an itch that I didn't know I had, and I was really happy to play it. I did play it on story mode because I'm a bitch and I've had a lot going on, and I don't need the stress of being stalked by the Zodiac right now. You play as a character. Fuck, if I can remember his name, I want to say it's Robert. Something tells me that ain't right. you play as a journalist who is so obsessed with solving the Zodiac cipher that he almost becomes a victim of the Zodiac killer. And so then from that point, you guide him as he tries to use some unconventional therapy techniques to really dive into the killer's psyche and try to figure out who it actually is. It's unnerving. A lot of the game is very unnerving. And I like that about it. I needed something that was just kind of odd like that. And I appreciate it. I think it's kind of perfect for this time of year. You know, and it's the wind is howling and it's cold and a little rainy. And you're like, you know, you got a blanket around you and you get the controller snuggled up to you. And then you're just being attacked by the Zodiac killer. And I'm like, fuck yeah, this is good.
Cool. And then 20 bucks, your thoughts?
It's got some quirks. Like I said, the visual quirk. There's definitely some issues. I don't know if it's translation error or what, but like one of the characters, the victim names, that's not a spoiler in any way. One of the victim's names is Sherry, and it constantly bounces around from how it's spelled and how it's pronounced. Like sometimes it's Sherry, sometimes it's Cherry, sometimes it's with one R, sometimes it's with a Y. It's like they don't fucking know who this character is. So there's some little odd quirks about the game like that where it's not flawless. It could use a little time and polish, but the overall experience itself is there, and I'm good with it. I'm cool with a buy it on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next game is called Shantae Risky's Revenge Director's Cut, developed and published by WayForward, released October 15th on Xbox One, Switch, and Windows 10 for $9.99. An upgraded version of the second game in the series, Shantae Risky's Revenge Director's Cut, once again puts players in control of Shantae, who will go on a quest to thwart her archenemy, the dastardly lady pirate Risky Boots. Shantae's mission will take her to a variety of environments. She will learn numerous abilities, encounter outlandish NPCs, and confront the sinister barons of Sequinland. Paul, tell us about Shantae.
So I have some mixed feelings on Shantae. The first being, for a Metroidvania that came out in its time, it's pretty damn awesome, gameplay-wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
But from an artist standpoint, I go, that's not how female bodies work. I'm so thrown off every time I see these characters and they got a waist that's like if they swallow a pea they're gonna look 9 months pregnant. Like, what is going on here? How does this physically work? I know they're supposed to be genies, but even genies need an intestinal system, come on. That said, the game looks great. It does very much feel like a port of its older self. I don't think they've done much as far as like upgrading anything goes. They did add the option to play it with or without the screen bars. That's nice. Don't play it on wide though. I've looked at it on my TV on wide and it was just a distorted mess. And I was like, oh, that's not going to work. We got to have a 55 inch TV. And I was like, let's see if it looks just as bad if I poured it to my curved monitor. Yes, it did. So at that point, I was like, well, we're looking at it on the tiny screen, whether we like it or not. Because that's the only way it looks good. because once you blow it up, it's shot. That's kind of a shame. I would have liked to have seen a little more put in to make it look good and not just horribly distorted when it's stretched at the widescreen. It's an option. That's just not a good one. But now, if you're going to play it with the bars or in its original aspect ratio, it looks fine. And it plays really well. The fast travel system is great. Hallelujah for that. Holy fuck. I can't imagine having played this game without the fast travel system like it was originally introduced. It's a Shantae game, and it does what you want a Shantae game to do. I do think that I was expecting a little more challenge with like the platforming elements and stuff. This is my first Shantae game, for the record.
Oh, you need to play more.
I know. I've only ever heard everybody like, you know, chant to the heavens about how good it is. And so I was a little surprised because I thought it was going to be, the battles are a challenge. Don't get me wrong. It's a hard game when you're in the battles, but I expected like, I don't know, some more platforming challenge or something. And I was kind of surprised that a lot of the like experience with the NPCs and stuff was just fetch quest and kind of filler, go here, talk to that person, go here, do that. And I was like, okay, when do I go smack somebody with my hair though? Cause that's what I'm here for. I think I had a bit of a, not necessarily, higher expectations, because it met my expectations, but I just expected something different, and I'm not quite sure what it was, right? But for what's there, I think it's solid. I think it's a good port. It's a game that holds up 10 years later, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's fine. It's Shantae, and this is the first time, if I'm not mistaken, that Risky's Revenge has been on Xbox.
Yep.
So that's a big deal. I mean, it took them 10 years to do it. Hey, but here it is. And for its price, I think it's worth it.
Well, $10, your official verdict?
Yeah, buy it. Play it. Have a good time. And I don't think there's anything to be mad at except for the widescreen.
Makes sense. These old games don't look good and wide.
It is what it is. Like, I can't even hold it against it. I'm curious why they even put it in though, given that it looked that bad.
Even all the screenshots on the Xbox store are all in 4:3 or whatever format because the Game
that's
Boy
the
was.
Way it looks best is the smaller format. And that's fine. I just wow. When I wasn't expecting that, when I put it in widescreen, I was like, okay, it's gonna format. No.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed, the original Shantae also ends up showing up on Xbox. I know that's getting a Switch release. That if you can find a copy of the original Shantae on Game Boy Color, that is worth fucking bank.
Is it?
Oh my God, is it worth bank?
Wow. And
it hurts my soul that two of my ex-girlfriends have my copies of Shantae. Two of them.
Damn.
And one of them was autographed.
You don't learn your lessons.
No.
Damn.
And it was autographed by the composer, Jay Kaufman. Good old Vert. Love him. All right. Next game to talk about is called Fallback Uprising, developed by Endroad, published by Endroad and Microids Indie, released October 2019 on Steam for $9.99, but a version 2 update just released October 15th. There may be a price increase coming. They're still talking about it, but for now it's $9.99. Lead the rebellion in an epic roguelike adventure. Guide your jetpack-equipped post-apocalyptic volunteers through a labyrinthine underground complex by jumping, dodging, and battling against robot minions and masters to get to the surface and bring life back to the scorched earth. Cole, tell us about Fallback Uprising.
I'm going to be 100% honest. I don't know what I was expecting out of this game, but I'll tell you what. I fucking loved it.
That's good because we have an interview with them next episode.
Whew.
How bad would it have been? Like, this game's fucking awful.
I mean, it happened before.
Oh, developers, tell us, why is your game so bad? That'd be a great interview.
There's been some rough ones.
This one's not going to be a rough one, though.
This is not going to be a rough one. I really enjoyed this game. So this is an apocalyptic two half. I don't know if you call it 2.5D. You can kind of...
It's 2D with like 3D environment.
Yeah, because you can move around in the environments to an extent. It's limited, but there are some places where like you go around a corner or you maneuver a bridge to rotate the world. So it's a roguelike. It's got some platforming elements. It's also kind of got like a hack and slash beat up element to it. There are baddies and you whack them with your sword. And depending on the class you've got, sometimes you got a bigger sword and you can do it from further away. Or sometimes you got to get up close and personal to them. You unlock different classes because it is a roguelike. You do go through and then die and then go through and then die. You're going to die a lot. I was actually pleasantly surprised because when you play a roguelike to this extent, you're like, okay, you know you're going to clear like two rooms and be dead your first couple runs until you get your bearings about you. And yet somehow that wasn't the way that this game played. It was like, I started it up and I was lost. Don't get me wrong, because the game gives you no direction, no map shit. You're underground. The world has gone to shit. The scientists made AI to make the world better while you were stuck underground because the world went to shit. Then the scientists figured out they could make the world not be shit. And the AI were like, fuck that. You're stuck down here with us forever. And so they put all the humans in the cages. And you're like, okay, this game is going to be fucking hard. And I'm not going to make it anywhere. And except that my very first run, I beat two of the bosses.
Nice.
I was just plowing through the game and I'm like, what is this that it's a roguelike that I can just immediately play? What a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Doesn't just whip your ass at the beginning. It's approachable and enjoyable.
And I was so down for it. And I was just, everything about it, it looks good. It feels good. The attacks feel balanced. I never felt like I died because I didn't fuck up. If I died, it was my fault. I did it. I did it dumb. I didn't dodge properly, or I let myself get in too small of a room with too many enemies. It was definitely always something I did. What a breath of fresh air. Holy fuck. Who knew games could be like this these days? I was so relieved. I was just like, I'm just genuinely having a good time. That's
refreshing
to be thankful. Yeah, it's just like, damn, that good game still exists.
But you could just sit down and mindlessly enjoy for a while. It's
that was the other part of it too, because it's, you can just go at it, and there is no map. Like I said, there's no.
I don't even know if there's a right way to go, because every time it would start me off in an area, I would go left, because I always do that.
Left, right? I would go left for a while and then be like, well, shit, I forgot and didn't go right. So then I go right for a little while and I'd be like, well, I guess I've already gone this way now. I guess this is where I'm at. And then next time I do it the opposite way. And there was always somewhere to go. There was always something to find and something to do. And I don't think it was ever meant for you to just like be stressed about how to get to the boss in one piece. It's just do the best you can, because that's all the characters trying to survive can do. So that's all you need to do.
Yeah. Well, don't, we're going to talk yourself about this one a whole lot more on the next episode. So we're not going to go too deep into this one, but $10 on it. What are you thinking?
I can't believe it's only $10. It's so good. If you like roguelikes at all, if you think you've ever might considered wanting to try to play a roguelike, pick this one up. It's a buy it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is called Nexoria Dungeon Rogue Heroes, developed and published by Turnox, released October 14th on Xbox One for $4.99. This game is a unique mix of roguelike with dungeon exploration, RPG, turn-based tactics, and collectible card game. At the base of the turn-based systems are not turns, but time. Find and improve new heroes and get coins to buy new spells. But remember, a hero's death will be fatal. Cole, tell us about Nexoria.
You don't even get to be a hero. It's just you're going to die.
Yeah.
Real fast. Because you get to pick a party of four, and you get to take them into dungeons, and then you immediately get molly fucking womped by the first thing.
Hey, there's that word across. Again.
Yep. Only this time, you know it's real because I put a fucking in the middle of it. Like, as cheerful and chipper and as excited as I was for the last game we talked about, this is my hard face, it, you know? Yeah.
This game kicked my ass. And, like, I was trying to be strategic and, like, plan everything out, and it wrecked me.
It does not hold your hand. It does not tell you shit. I had members of my party starving to death. And it was like, oh, just press the back button. I don't know what you select view, whatever you want to call it. Press that button to feed your party members. I was like, okay, cool. So then I thought like I had to rest to do it. But then I would rest and then they would die of starvation because they lose their hunger or lose their food while they're resting. And then I was like, God damn it. Now I gotta waste a resurrection potion, and then I still gotta feed your hungry ass. Now I'm just mad. I will give them credit. You can have kitties.
You can have kitties. So warrior kitties.
Warrior kitties. They are some brutal little motherfuckers too. I am 100% on board. Like, my first party I sent out just because I didn't know what I was doing was three cats and one chick, and I was like, this is like real life. It's me. She had red hair. She knew how to cast fire spells. I was like, yeah, look, it's me in the game. Yay! And then I immediately died because it really was just like me. So for the actual combat, when you run into it, which thankfully you can avoid if you're careful enough most of the time. Because at least when you're on the grid and you're exploring, if there's combat, like, there's little monster eyes on the tile. Yeah. So you can try to step away from it. That said, you can still get ambushed. Like, if you open a chest, I opened many a chest that had slimy monsters crawl out and fuck my face off. And it was terrible. So when you're in the actual combat, it's actually a guard battler. Well, fucking know I love these. so this is great. I will say you don't have much control over your deck. I'm a control freak about my decks, and I like to build them a certain way. So it was a little difficult for me to be like, oh, well, this is shit that I just got, and I got to deal with it. And not having that kind of customization option. That's because I'm a diehard deck builder player, and I do that shit all the time. So of course I wanted more, you know. I don't think it's a detriment to the game. I think it's just more of my playstyle preference. So you have your cards, you fling them at the other enemies. It's turn based though. So you have a little meter underneath your health bar.
No, it's time based, not turn based.
Time based, correct. It's all the same to me. I don't know the difference. I don't play this shit enough. I'm the worst with genres and shit. I'm just hanging in there by a hair. So yeah, there's a little bar underneath each of your characters, and then it's their turn when the time is up. You can't just hit willy-nilly out here. You gotta wait till it's their turn. So yeah, the little timer is underneath their health bar. And then when their time's up, you can throw a card at the enemy. Of course, same thing for the enemy. They'll throw shit at you. Did you run into the glitchy cats?
No.
Oh, Joe. I fucking hate the glitchy cats. The first couple of times. Listen, without giving too much detail, I've been playing a game this week that has just glitched the fuck out on me. And every time I try to play it, it throws error codes and shit, right? Mm-hmm. So when I'm playing Nyxoria and these glitchy cats pop up for the first time, and it's literally flashing neon green error code, and like my heroes are like glitchy green matrix looking squares, and I'm like, God damn it, I've got to message Joe and tell him I broke another game. But it's just the enemy. It's just a glitchy cat.
Nice.
And it's hilarious when you know that the game's not broken. When you're a reviewer who has broken multiple games lately, it's a little scary. I will say, I do think that the game could stand a little balancing. The fights in general are just really fucking hard. But then you get to the boss fights and then, like, I'm ready to throw a controller. It just doesn't want to let you through anything. I would like to see it balanced. I can't remember if there were difficulties. If there were, I was definitely playing on pussy mode, and either way, I was still getting my shit handed to me. And I don't like it. I think the game is great otherwise, but that difficulty barrier is definitely there.
Yeah. Well, on the bright side, it's only $5. So what do you think?
For $5, you know what? I'm a roll with a fuck it. Why not? I would have otherwise gone try it because it's hard. And it's a roguelike, because this is apparently roguelike week. It's hard, and I think that would turn a lot of people off. But at that price, I think it's more forgiving if you try it and it's too difficult.
Yeah. Carnage is saying that the dev is supposedly putting balance changes in a patch, so it's supposed to make it easier, so that'll be nice.
I would like easy mode, because I'm a bitch.
Yeah. All right, well, moving on, we got to get Dark Meek in here. Aki calling her up.
At least it's not Jacob again.
Very true. Very, very true. Aki, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. A little panicky, but otherwise perfectly fine.
Why are you panicky?
Because on Sunday, I'm going to be on a plane, and that's like almost everything I hate all combined into one fucking thing.
Nice.
Wear your mask.
Yes.
Yes, I got some KN95 masks specifically for this. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, you also got a game to talk about, so let's get to that. The final game to talk about tonight is called Tears of Avia, developed by Cuckoo Squeaky, which is an incredible company name, published by PQ, but released October 15th on Xbox One and PC for $19.99. Tears of Avia is a turn-based strategy and tactics RPG set in the beautiful world of Estera. Navigate through war-torn environments as you build your party and develop each member's abilities through extensive skill tree systems. Aki, tell us about Tears of Avia.
Well, you pretty much explained a lot of it right there. And that you pick one of five different characters, I believe, that you can play as. But all five of them appear and are part of your team any fucking way. So it's just, which character does everyone talk to in the cutscenes, basically? There's a ranger, a healer, a fire mage, a knight, and a brawler. And you basically start off with whichever character you choose. You fight in a level, two levels, with some other NPC character. And then you meet everyone else and you go on your adventure. Bad shit is happening in the land, and it's because there's some bad people looking for these tears, these crystals. And if they collect them all, they can summon a demon that's been trapped thanks to the crystals. So, since you found one and it didn't tell you to go fuck off, because apparently that's what the crystals do, that makes you the seeker, which means you have to go and find all these crystals because reasons. I mean, they're like, if the bad guys collect them all, they can open this. I'm like, so you have to go find them all. But if I find them all, then I'll have them all and it'll still open. Because the whole point is, if they're all collected, it opens. All I have to do is keep this one away from them. Why am I looking for more? Logic. Gotta love it. There's two different ways you can play the game, which heavily impact the game. There's the standard mode, which is the good mode and what you should play because it's sensible and it won't make you hate yourself. And then there's the hardcore mode, which there are achievements for. So I decided to play that because I'm like, eh, it shouldn't be too hard. It wasn't until I found out that your party doesn't consist of all six of those people, your character and the five others. It only consists of you and four others. So there's always one that isn't getting any experience at all, unless you switch them out with someone else. And experience is only handed out if you're dealing based on how much damage you deal to enemies. So the more enemies you kill and beat the shit out of, the more XP that character gets. Or in the healer's case, the more you heal, and it doesn't even have to heal any real damage. You just have to use the heal spells a lot, which is awesome. But because of that, there's always characters that aren't getting leveled as much just because they don't hit as often, or because one of them's sitting back in the bar because you don't have enough room for all of them, and fuck that guy. You know, standard stuff. But sometimes you require one of the NPCs, and in hardcore mode, if one of the NPCs die, they're dead, because the game saves immediately after they die.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And if they were required for a part of the story, it's just game over, and you have to restart the game from scratch.
Oh.
I lost an almost 15-hour save thanks to that 2 days ago, and I've barely played it since, because I was just like, I'm so dead inside from it. I had one character that I had leveled to like level one or two, maybe. And I required them, and I was like, okay, well, chances are I'm going to get put into a battle immediately because this is going to be a story beat. So I should level this guy. And I was like, I had just realized that dealing damage is what got them XP. I thought if they were there, they got XP. And then I was like, why aren't these guys getting XP? And it took me a while because I'm a little bit of a derp, but I figured it out. I was like, okay, so I'll just put him there and I'll just heal every round because I don't want him dying. And then I accidentally skipped my turn two rounds in a row and he died. And I was like, okay, well, that,
man.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was going to kill story important characters. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll just back out of this real quick and then hop back in. And I was like, oh, save's there. Okay, well, I'll finish this fight. There has to be a way to revive him somehow. No, it was just game over. I'm like, you motherfucker.
that is harsh.
Yeah. The XP system is kind of fun to me. I really enjoy it. By that point, I had gotten one character up to like level 10, was my second highest level character, which was my character, the Ranger, because I'm beta and I'm fine with that. My highest level character was the healer at level 51.
This hurts to hear that it's all gone. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about the healer, at least, is it only took me 4 fights to raise her from 0 to level 51. Yeah, because I just started using her healing skills every turn, whether I needed to or not, and it just shot her XP up like crazy. Whereas when I killed only with the Ranger, she might go up a quarter of a level. Healing brought my healer up like 2, 3, 4 levels every fight. I was like, wow, jeez, this is balanced. But, you know, it's a good thing, because the higher level you are, for most classes, the more damage you do. The higher level you are with the healer, the more health you increase for everybody when you heal. So that was really useful, because even her most basic spell would heal everyone for like a quarter of their health. And I was like, yes, thank you. I appreciate that. There are some things that change how strong you hit. You get weapons, and all of them have random stats and stuff, and they tell you how much they hit for. And they're just randomized. All of them are just randomized. So I often found for many of my characters, the starting weapons were actually the strongest for quite some time, just because I was getting really shit luck on what items were in the store and what was dropped. But besides that, you don't get to buy armor or anything. It's just
the call breaks.
Yeah, you just dropped out for a couple of seconds there.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Huh. Okay. That's weird. I'm sorry.
I blame the internet.
I blame the internet, too, because I don't know what the fuck that was about.
Us either. I thought my computer froze for a second, and then Cole was like, did the call freeze?
Yeah, I've been getting a network error on the Twitch channel every now and then, so something's wrong with my internet, I guess. Hmm. Sorry. It's a good thing I'm fucking off for a while. but there's blessings where you can give money to the church for individual gods. There's five different gods, and each one of them gives you a buff or debuff in a specific area. Like, there's one for condition damage. So if you poison or bleed or set someone on fire, take more damage if they have a high blessing. Or it does shit if it has a low blessing. There's also one for lowering your mana cost to use all your powers. There's one for health, one for defense, and one for attacking. Or the health one's for healing, not for actual character health. And there's an achievement for having the three most important ones at 100% wrath, which means the god hates your ass, so you get the biggest debuff. And it's for the three most important ones. And I've been trying to get... I was trying to get that, on my current run, and it's a pain in the ass, because obviously it's the defense, attack, and healing, so... It's not going well.
Man, this sounds like a tough completion.
Yeah, yeah. But once you get that, it's real easy to get it back up. You just have to pay 500 coins, which can take, you know, anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour. Again, based on what random ass loot you get.
No.
So for how much you can sell the shit for. Overall, I actually like it. I don't usually like the tactics types of games. But I actually really enjoyed this. It was pretty simple. You have three trees for every character when you're leveling up, and you can unlock a skill in each one. Except for once you've done that, you can eventually get to a high enough level to where you unlock them all for that character, which is great. You can equip five of them, though. And that's it. That's how you get your customization for each character. You figure out what five out of this list of, 90, like 30 something, you get to pick five out of to actually equip at any given time. Hmm. So there's lots of customization for each character. And yeah, it takes a long time to level anyone who isn't a healer up. A long time. So long, because you have to get to like level 32 or 39, something like that, in order to have everything unlocked.
Damn. After you have, and then you die and lose everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that sucked. It wasn't even my character. It was one of the other fucking characters, but I needed them to go to the next town.
Oh, jeez.
Like, you motherfucker. Yeah. But after you unlock your abilities, you get to upgrade them as well, which costs an obscene amount of money. Because there's five levels for each one of them, and each item goes at an increasing cost, and it's misery. Like, it's, I think the first one's 500, and then it's 1,500, and I don't even know what's above that anymore, because that hurt my soul enough.
Oh, boy. So, well, overall, $20 on this one. Interestingly enough, an Xbox-exclusive RPG for now. What do you think of it?
I think right now it's a try it. There are some glitches in it, that they are working on a patch for, but it's not out yet. And that right now the game is kind of finicky with its controls because of that. So I say at least wait until a patch is out, and then I think it's totally worth buying. It's fun. I enjoy it.
Cool. So Tears of Avia sounds like a winner, and that's cool that, you know, P-Cube is given us an Xbox exclusive RPG. Maybe we'll see it on other platforms in the future, but at least for now, that's pretty cool for Xbox to have an exclusive RPG.
And that's a rarity. I like the fact that they're willing to patch it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Aki, thanks for being here. Thanks to Jacob for coming on and doing his thing. Big thanks to Nathan at Mommy's Best Games for coming on, chatting to us about Shoot 1-Up DX. Talktober is getting fun. We're going to have another one next episode, and then we'll see what happens. But, Cole, do you have any final words to end it?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Aki, do you have... anyone have anything, you know? Nothing?
I had a crush on the girl from The Craft, the main bad guy. There you go.
Didn't everybody?
I don't know. I always thought everyone liked the main character, if they had crushes on girls at all. But I was 100% for that bad girl. Oh, yeah.
Her name was Nancy.
I'm glad you remember the names, because I don't. I just remember what she looks like.
Molly Wop.